This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Did you know that Jaden Daniels had more passing yards throughout the NFL than any other quarterback that played this past postseason? Who was number two, Jake? You have any idea who number two was?
Starting to think about it. Hurts? I don't know.
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, there we go.
Had more passing yards throughout the playoffs than Patrick Mahomes. Now, this is where having the full scope of things can change how you view things. You got to remember, the Chiefs had a first-round bye. So that alters things just a little bit, but those are the numbers as I see them before me. All right, let's go ahead. Let's play the first clip that you've got prepared from Matt Rhule's latest interview.
You've been talking about spring a whole lot. Everyone up there in Lincoln's talking about the spring game, and is it going to exist in its classic form? Whatever the idea said this. Okay, so there's this common talking point out there that college football is just like the NFL these days, which sounds good if you don't have to defend the viewpoint. But if anyone challenges you on that, like if you were someone were to say, oh man, college football is just like the NFL, and I say, give me some examples. Well, free agency is not like the NFL. Salary cap at this point that we're talking is not like the NFL. Enforcement is not like the NFL. Overall equity of structure is not like the NFL. So you've been a head coach at both levels. You just said, that's not really like the NFL. Like, just because we pay players today, and just because it may look a little bit more like the NFL than it used to, is there not still like a night and day difference between the Saturday and the Sunday game?
Night and day. And I mean, as you said, it looks a little bit more like it. You do have to assign value to players. You can't just all go. You know, I remember when I left college and went to the NFL. In the NFL, you get one first round draft pick. In college, you know, Alabama doesn't get one 5-star. They can get 8 of them. So that's where the disparity occurs. So I was like, hey, let's go to the NFL where everything is built on parity. It's not going to be that way. I think one of the biggest things is that because there is no contract, because they're just player promise contracts that the player can leave at any point, what you're going to see is I might assign a value to a player of, hey, I think a starting right guard is worth X amount of dollars. That in the NFL, that's kind of consistent. But in college, another team might say, you know what, we can't get these guys, so we're going to pay 3 times that value for your player. And so really your value comes down to what you're willing to pay for somebody. It's completely different. So all the salary cap managing type people, you'll need to do all that. But at the end of the day, at the core part of the day, it's going to be about each coach having to make a decision every year about which players am I willing to keep, which players am I willing to walk away from, and am I thinking of this in a 1-year increment? Am I thinking of it in 3-year increments? Now, if they ever did go to contracts, it would be completely different. And then if everything gets leveled, it still comes down to recruiting. It still comes down to the player saying, hey, what's the best fit for me? What's the best opportunity for me?
When you hear that, what do you think, Jake? Because it's like, if I'm a college coach, it's never ending. I've got to think 3 years down the road. I got to think 1 year down the road. I got to think about this position. I got to think about the money I have. What's it going to take to get him? What's the next school going to offer him? It's not based on contracts at the moment. The salary cap is coming, but it's not here yet. Some other Yahoo school, I shouldn't say that, some other school might offer him 3 times what he's worth. And what do you think when you hear all that?
I can't lie, when I heard it, especially when he says right guard, I'm kind of
I wonder where that came
from.
Yeah,
I'm kind of thinking maybe if he's talking about Rocco Spindler
Virginia.
There.
Virginia.
But I mean that's what it is, and that's where, you know, this roster management is so hard. I mean, it's been somewhat, you know, well reported out there that that's kind of what happened with Dante Dowdell. He wasn't really looking to leave. He just got a pretty darn good offer out of the portal, and then okay, well, maybe I'll change my mind. So and again, it's not, I like the fact that he's kind of pointing, it's not necessarily the value to you. You could put the value on the position, but if somebody else needs that position, well, then they're going to, you know, pay more than what your value is on it. So, man, is that hard? And then, you know, I know a lot of people like to go back to, well, nobody's loyal or nobody appreciates this. This is your chance to cash in life-changing money, and it's going to go by like this. You know, you're going to have your – so – I don't blame any kid if you get a pretty darn good offer to think, you know, quite a bit, and maybe to make, you know, whatever move that might be to change the future of your life and maybe your family's life down the line.
I am not jealous of head college football coaches at all right now. The process to player acquisition is different than it's ever been. It's harder than it's ever been. It's obviously more expensive. That's part of the game. Now we all know that. Evaluating, like, you're going to have to, like he said, he's going to have to assess what individual players are worth. Like, it's going to become who can throw the ball, who can rush the guy throwing the ball, who can protect the guy throwing the ball, who can catch the ball from the guy throwing the ball. And that's a lot of it was what it's going to come down to. So for me, I thought that was very interesting. I thought it was very telling. It wasn't in particular shocking. I've heard similar things, but to hear Matt Rhule specifically talk about those things when he's the guy in charge of the program that we love, it just landed even more with me. All right, go ahead. Play the next clip, Jake. Oh, real quick. You know, everybody's got problems, right, Jake? Mm-hmm. Do you have Lamborghini and Mercedes type problems?
No, I do not.
Miami student athletes Carson Beck and Hannah Savender had three vehicles stolen overnight. Beck's Lamborghini and Mercedes are still missing while Hannah's SUV was found. Do you have Lamborghini and Mercedes type problems, Jake? Is your Lamborghini missing?
No, mine's right in my garage still. Yeah.
I'm sure it is. All right, go ahead and play the next clip.
It still comes down to the player saying, hey, what's the best fit for me? What's the best opportunity for me? You know, the days of teams loading up and having a great second team, because that's usually the difference, right? The best programs have the most depth. But now teams are going to buy away their depth. Hey, why be a second string guy there and make $200,000? Come be a starter for us. Maybe it's not as good a program. Maybe it's not as good a league. But come be a starter for us and make $500,000. And not many kids, some kids will, but not many kids are going to turn down, you know, that much of an opportunity change. And so it's really going to come down to who's the most creative.
There's the betterment for the player individually. There's what's best for a program collectively. There's what's best for a league. Then there's what's best for college football. I've found, in my opinion, that those don't always perfectly overlap. So case in point, let's say over at Pate State, I've built this dominant roster and I got championship caliber depth in the old way of doing things. Then the new way of doing things comes and my twos and my threes are bought out from under me for probably two or three times what they're worth, but there's desperation in the marketplace. That's great for that player that he just got that money. It is great for the program that they had the resources allocated to be able to come do that. It's not good for me because I just lost my championship caliber depth.
As a Nebraska fan, how do you not like that? That helps Nebraska. Instead of Georgia being able to have two, three deep on their roster that are gonna be first round draft picks, the guys that are like sitting there and are like, hey, I'm pretty good. I want to get on the field now, or I'm a young guy and I want to get on the field sooner rather than later, or I want to start making that NIL money now, they're going to look for other places. And those places are going to include a place like Nebraska. And to me, that levels the playing field. I actually like this part of it. I think if you're a Nebraska fan, how does that not excite you to a certain degree? What do you think there, Jake?
Well, I can tell you why it doesn't completely excite me is because I would have liked to have Prince Will, Umanimielen, and James Williams on it. I mean, it happened in Nebraska. It's just, again, it takes away a little bit of that college football story of, okay, this guy's up and coming. We found him. We're developing him. And then he's going to be ready to take that role next year. And we've built it in and we're ready to go. And all of a sudden, that guy's gone. Whoever you develop to, you know, plays well enough to get some flashes on the field, they're going to get offers elsewhere. So I get it, though. Look, you're right. I mean, Nebraska, kind of when we like to say is one of the have programs sometimes, you know, but like you're saying, kind of the way they've played lately have been scaling backward to where this could actually help them rather than hurt them.
There's pluses and minuses. The thing I would say about Prince Will is an example. He wasn't a guy that wasn't going to get an opportunity to play this year. Like, to me, that's a little bit of a different example. I'm talking about guys that are like second, third string, especially at places like Georgia and Alabama, where they've been so good for so long because they were so deep. And if guys got banged up, there was, let's be honest, another five-star to step right in. I'll never forget when your Alabama had all these injuries and Nick Saban like was mad in the press conference, like, you think we just grow five stars on trees? Yes. Yes, I do. I do, actually. You recruit them, but you go pick the tree, and you were paying them when other people weren't. But that's not a real accusation. That's just rumor and innuendo. I want to throw that out there, Jake. But
your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
My point is, now it's going to be more dispersed. Prince Will, he left for whatever the reasons were. Did he? Was he one of the guys you interviewed here?
No.
That was James Williams, and who was the other guy?
Gabe Irvin. I don't think, is there anybody else?
Okay. So, for me, with Prince Will, he was going to have a chance to play. There were other reasons that he left. It wasn't that he was, I don't want to say buried on the depth chart, but he wasn't going to play as much as he would have liked. Those chances were going to be right there. He left for whatever the reasons were. I think it's part of the 150 to 105, Tony White and Terrence Knighton leaving, and so there was a little bit of a mass exodus on the defensive side of the ball because of that. To me, this is going to level the playing field when it comes to talented guys being dispersed across more teams because they want to get to things sooner rather than later, which is a little different than the mindset I grew up in. You red shirt, you earn it, but year three or four, you get, you know, you probably earned it hopefully by that point in time. There's something else that could actually help Nebraska. As much as you and I are not fans of college football playoff expansion and going to 12 teams and everything else, and I personally would have stopped at eight, but I actually like the new potential 14 to 16 team format better than the current 12 team format because Arizona State and Boise shouldn't be getting byes is one of those reasons. But TJ Pittenger, who's got a great YouTube page, all right, it's College Football Fanatic. He had an interesting take about Nebraska and the college football playoff and what could be better for Nebraska specifically as far as getting more talent, but also potentially how the new CFP is going to be. And I quote, they, Nebraska, could certainly make a run at it this year. I don't know that this is the year that people are pegging Nebraska to make a run to the playoff, but man, with an expanded playoff with four guaranteed spots that we talked about, it really feels like this could be a stepping stone to 2026 being really successful for the Huskers, end quote. Now, the rest of the things that are kind of written with this, surely the expanded playoff will benefit teams like Nebraska who couldn't always make the cut, but now it will guarantee more opportunities or more spots for Nebraska to get at the table. Things about the new college football I don't necessarily like just as a college football fan. If I'm a Nebraska fan, the opportunity to get more talent when we have the ability to spend quite a bit of money because that talent doesn't want to sit low on a depth chart, okay? Or the opportunity to get into the playoff being expanded because there's going to be more spots available for Nebraska per se to get into. There are certain things, if you're a Nebraska fan, they're not the worst thing in the world. As a college football fan, not the biggest fan of it. What are your thoughts there, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, it does remind me that how big this season is going to be. I mean, we talk about taking that next step to getting to 8 or 9 wins, and I don't know if Nebraska necessarily needs to get to a college football playoff this year, but when you think about what this season really means, is setting up for Dylan Raiola's junior year, and by then, that might be your last year with Dylan, and, you know, that the whole goal, the whole, you know, program has kind of been built toward, we want to be competing for championships by the time, you know, he's an upperclassman, so this season, they absolutely have to take that next step to position themselves for the next season. And it would be great if they could just skip that all together and just get to the playoffs this season.
We have to wait another year. It is what it is. All right. So we got two more clips. Let's play. All right, Jake. Let's play the. You know what? Let's play the last one. Do you have that last one ready? I think it's a little bit shorter.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's also, I think so much of football we think is play calling, you know, like, so, but really when you get down in the weeds, right, especially in the NFL, but in college too, but you know, as rosters shift around, if my right guard can't block that three technique, it's really not about what the best play is on the whiteboard. It's really about, hey, how are we going to manage that three technique? You know, Josh, when I walk in every week and we're playing somebody, the first thing I do is I put on their defense. And I just try to identify any player that can wreck the game or anything that they do that can wreck the game, whether it's a special blitz they have. And then it's like, okay, we have to attack that. And then I go over to the offense and I look and see, you know, A, is there a special player they have that we have to take away in some regard? Or is, usually in college football, is there a run game just so tough we have to defend it? It's so much more about the players. And it's so much more about the matchups and who's successful and who's not. that the play calling, yeah, when you have better players, you can call a lot of really good plays. To me, I want to know who finds a way to win consistently. And that is an ability, kind of going back to what I said earlier about attacking, you know, the new world of college football. Who's versatile? Who's flexible with their brain? Who can adjust to the things that have happened? Who can adjust? Like Chip Kelly, such a great offensive coordinator. It's like, hey, give him whatever quarterback you give him, he's probably going to find a way to score points, right? Like, I mean, he did it certain ways at UCLA, does it different ways at Ohio State. They grew and morphed at Ohio State throughout the course of the year. That's coaching. And so I just think we overemphasize just the way it looks. I think we do that with the playoff committee. You know, just show me a team that wins and show me a coach who figures out how to win with whoever he has.
Is that his way of standing up for Marcus Satterfield? It's not about the play calling? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with that. The player acquisition. So anybody can be a good player, play caller, so to speak, is if you got really good players. There is something to be said, though, for the actual play calling ability and setting up things down the road. And we're going to, I'll never forget, 96, 97? Amon can tell this story. He's told it to me. He said it elsewhere. They're going on the road to play Colorado. It's a big-time game. All right. I think Rick Neuheisel was the Colorado coach. And I actually interviewed him at Big Ten Media Days. To this day, he doesn't understand why this play happened. He said they just ran what they always do, which is not true. Tom Osborne changed up how they were going to block that first initial option play. And he pulled Amon Green aside and he said, this is what we're going to do. And it's going to go for a touchdown. You go back and you watch that first play in Boulder. It went for like a 50 plus yard touchdown. So there's something to be said for the scheme having an effect and adjustments and this and that. Because you got one coach who's on the other side who to this day has no idea that the play was changed and they blocked it differently. And the other coach is like, it's going to go for a touchdown. So there is a certain degree of play calling matters. Now, to Coach Matt Rhule's point, I think he's right. Because I've asked several coaches over the years, what advice would you give to a college football coach? Not one of them ever said play calling. Like if you could give them one piece of advice, not one of them ever said play calling, if they could just give one piece of advice. In fact, Tom Osborne, you want to know what Coach Osborne said? He did not say play calling. He didn't even say recruiting or relationships. You want to know what he said? He said thick skin at Jake. He said thick skin. You got to keep in mind, he was about fired multiple times. So for his particular situation, as beloved as he is now, there was multiple times when he thought he was going to get fired. 78, right? First time they beat Oklahoma, lost his first six games versus Oklahoma. He about went to Colorado. Like, people were not happy. He about went to Colorado, but he stayed because he had been telling young men for so long, Nebraska's the place to be, and he didn't want to tell them that, and then he leaves and goes somewhere else. After the 90 season, all right, Georgia Tech, co-national champs, Georgia Tech, Molly Wapsis in the Citrus Bowl. After that, he's told me about a meeting he had with his coaches where he said, hey, we're all going to get fired. You might as well start looking for jobs. So for him, it was thick skin. For every coach, it's different. When I asked Coach Solich, his exact words were, Adam, anybody can draw plays on a board. What he said is it's about relationships with the players. So to Rhule's point, play calling matters. You can set things up. Think about the throwback from Mike Stunts to Eric Crouch, 01 versus Oklahoma, number one versus number two. What was it, black 41 flash reverse pass or something like that? They set that up three times throughout the game with different motions that they did. It looked the exact same. Then all of a sudden they toss it back to Stunts. Thunder Collins tosses it back to Stunts and it's a throwback for a touchdown. So there's certain things you can do, but there's talent acquisition, there's relationships and building, and there's a certain amount of, hey, I'm going to do what I believe is best, even if it's not popular, aka thick skin. So I've really enjoyed, I'm only halfway through this interview. I'm going to go through the other half of the interview. We got one more clip before we get out of here today. We'll play it in the last segment. But I've really enjoyed it because a lot of things he said match up with things I've heard before, match up with things that I've seen that have worked and haven't worked. And he's like, nope, that's not what it's really about. Like, I think Matt Rhule has every capability of getting Nebraska going in the right direction. It's just got to actually happen. And I'm going to come back to, it's got to be the little things. I'll save that diatribe. I've done it before and I'll probably do it again, but I'll save it for now. For now, we're going to head to break. When we come back, we'll play that final clip that we've got for today. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.